Good morning, everyone. I welcome you to this digital presentation of Charleswood United Church. We hope that you are doing well during these challenging times. I am reading from Romans 5, verses 1 to 8, Results of Justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Why? One will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Herein is the gospel of Christ.
Recently, in conversations and in my own thoughts, I have been giving expression to the idea that we have much to be thankful for living in Manitoba. We have much to be thankful for during this pandemic because we have been spared the worst of what many other communities and many other regions have experienced. Through a combination of good fortune and wise leaders and an uncommon unity to be bound together and to sacrifice together, we have not experienced the statistics that so many other places have of hospitalizations and illness and death. But even as I say we have much to be thankful for, we do recognize that we are not disconnected or separate from those other communities. And there has been suffering in many places, and we share in that suffering. Even more importantly, we should not forget that there are those in our communities for whom this has been extremely difficult. People, neighbors, family, and friends who have suffered, and in some cases, suffered greatly. Paul, the apostle, has much to say about suffering. And some of the most important lessons about this are found in his letter to the Romans. I cannot imagine that it was at all easy to live as a Christian in Rome in the first century. All around you would be an endless display of reminders about the glory of Rome, about the violence of Rome, about the greed and terror of Rome. To live as a Christian in Rome in the first century would be to be surrounded by imperial values, but living inside with counter-imperial values of the gospel. In the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he takes on the question of suffering directly. He begins by reminding us that we live in grace as a consequence of the gift of Jesus Christ. By grace, he means that God has given us something that we do not deserve and have not earned, and yet that gift is given freely, lovingly, abundantly, even extravagantly. Central to our understanding of what it means to live in grace is that we rejoice in hope, according to one translation, or exult in hope, according to the Revised English Bible, or boast in hope, according to the New Revised Standard Version. Paul says that we begin by understanding we have hope and then addresses the question of suffering. In fact, he says we rejoice, or we exult, or we boast in suffering, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Paul is often misunderstood. He most certainly is not saying that God wants for our suffering or that God creates suffering in order that we can get to hope. Remember, we live in a state of grace, a state of giftedness. Rather, he wants us to know that we always have hope, even in the midst of our sufferings, because we are aware of the love of God made manifest in Jesus Christ. We have hope and can see our way through any time of difficulty or despair. It doesn't mean that suffering goes away just because you have hope. It means that God is with us and does not abandon us and allows us to persevere and endure our times of sorrow, trial, and suffering. The other day, I was speaking to a dear friend who has been in a place of assisted living since the pandemic began. And she was describing to me how, after 3 months, how exceedingly difficult she and her fellow residents are experiencing. They need to spend almost all of their time alone in their room. Their meals are brought to them where they were used to having meals together as a community, as a family of fellow residents. She even said that when they go out for a doctor's appointment, when they return, they must commit to self-isolation for 14 days and literally not leave their rooms at all, even to walk the hallways. Not speaking only for herself, but for her neighbors, she is saying that it is a difficult situation and it will be difficult for this to go on much longer. But she has hope. She's a woman of great faith, and she gives witness to the idea that we have not lost sight that we will see our way through this, that there will be a new day, that rides and restaurants and worship will resume, that something is coming very, very soon that will be a reward for our hope during this time of difficulty and of suffering. We give thanks to God who does not abandon, does not forsake. We give thanks to God who fills our lives with grace, the free gift of hope that sustains us and encourages us no matter what we face this day. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us unite our hearts and minds together. Let us pray. God of all wonder and beauty, as we move through the days of longest light, we pause and give thanks to you for the light that shines in the darkness and is never diminished. We celebrate all there is to be thankful for in this season of growth and blossom. We praise you for the goodness of creation, which supplies all our needs. We thank you this morning for the generations who have gone before us and left a legacy of love and service in your name. The wisdom of the past remains a great blessing for the church this day. We thank you for the First Nations of this land, for their wisdom and patience, their generosity of spirit. We thank you for the Métis Nation and its fundamental contribution to the creation of Canada and of Manitoba. We thank you for generations of people who have come to Canada from other lands to create a majestic tapestry of culture and color and custom. As we work together for renewed and renewing relationships, addressing racism in all its forms, particularly against Black communities, we ask for your patience and guidance. O God, whose peace passes understanding, we hold in prayer this world that you so love, which has been upended and disoriented by the COVID-19 crisis. We pray for the places where the spread is quick and rising. We pray for those who have experienced loss of life and severe illness. We pray for those who have risen up and fought tirelessly for our well-being in offices and hospitals, in grocery stores and farms, in transportation and communication. Restore hope where it is failing. As a community of faith displaced from our routines and our capacity to be in one another's company, we pray for unity. We hold in prayer those among us who are ill, those who are grieving, those who are alone and tiring. We remember with thanksgiving the life of Alfred Laser and pray your comfort and support on his family. Accept the prayers we offer in the light of a new and glorious day as we seek to bear witness to the truth which binds us to you and to one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who leads us to pray together when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.